Well, morning, folks, here at Church in the Marketplace, and g'day if you're listening in online. And today we've been giving thanks to God for a recent trip to Fiji to support the Good Neighbour International. And for just a couple of minutes, I want to continue with the idea of being thankful. We've already mentioned the founding father of TGNI in Fiji, Paul Ramsworth. And Paul is really unwell. Paul is dying of kidney failure. Nevertheless, while we were there at a concluding service, Paul spoke about how he was at peace with his life circumstances and how a part of coming to that peace was seeing all the things in his life, past and present, that he had to be thankful for. So today I want to encourage my attitude of gratitude, and I hope yours too. And I want to give us the top five ways from the Bible to give thanks. You know, those top 10 lists. Well, here are the top five reasons in the Bible to give thanks. Before I dive into that, I want to remind us that this is actually one of the most powerful choices that we can make, the gratitude choice. Time and time again, research suggests that of all the choices people can make to help them be happy, the number one choice was gratitude, being thankful. Somehow being thankful has the power to change, to help us see things from God's perspective, and that changes everything. Through thankfulness, we can turn a trial or a problem into an opportunity for faith. Through thankfulness, we can turn a disappointment into God's direction because our perspective has changed. We can turn irritations with people into invitations to love. We can turn hurts into opportunities for ministry. We can turn tragedies into a witness of how God works even through them. We can turn personal success into personal praise. We can turn feelings of inadequacy into new confidence and new hope through thankfulness. That's the power of it. So as we prepare just to think about those couple of things, let's pray. Our Lord, you call us to be thankful people. You challenge us to be thankful people. And somehow we begin to realize that when we do that, something inside us begins to change. You do something with our character and the person that we are. So, Lord, we pray this morning that you would help us to be thankful people and you would help us see the opportunities to be thankful. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, the first way to give thanks is in the words that we say. So Paul, writing to the Ephesians, says, "Nor should there be obscenity, foolish talk, or coarse joking, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving." The truth, I guess, is that every one of us struggles sometimes with saying the wrong thing. In fact, the book of James says, if anyone could be perfect in what he or she says, he or she would be a perfect person. If anyone could be perfect in what they say, they would be a perfect person. So how do we get the wrong things, the negative things out of our words and bring in more positive words, more thankful words into what we say? And I don't think the way is to grit our teeth and try harder not to say the wrong things. That kind of just leaves a vacuum that gets filled up with more negative things. I think the way to do it is to add thankfulness, to realize that our mouth was made for giving thanks. God's our creator. God's creative purpose gives us our lives, our body, our mouths. And one of the reasons for our mouths and language and speech is to give thanks to God. So when we add that into what we say, all of a sudden it changes things. It changes our soul. It changes the direction of our lives. The things that we say begin to set the direction of our lives. And when we say words of thanks, it changes everything. That's why I think the Bible warns in Philippians 2, do all things without grumbling or disputing. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. So how do we make that work? I think we try to decrease our GPH and increase our TPH. We try to decrease our GPH and increase our TPH. So GPH is our grumbles per hour. We try to decrease those. And our TPH is our thanks per hour. We try to increase those. So we try to take down the grumbling and raise up the thankfulness. And that begins, I believe, to change things and to change us. The second place that we find the Bible talking about giving thanks in our lives is in the way that we sing. The way that we sing. How about that? God, who knows us, knows that there is something about singing that connects our emotions and that connects to our soul. When we sing thanks, it has great power in our lives. Thanks and singing in Scripture somehow go together. So Psalm 30 verse 4 says, sing your hearts out to God. Thank Him to His face. There's a personal thing that happens when we're singing our thanks. We make a personal connection to God like no other time. I don't know if you knew this, but we're actually commanded to sing with each other. So Colossians says, sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with thankful hearts. So whenever we sing, we to do it with a thankful heart, and we sing with others. And just as a sort of a by the by, there's a practical thing about it, I think, that we smile when we sing. Now, Justin will tell us there are all sorts of good voice reasons to smile when we sing. But we smile because there's joy in singing. The Bible says in Psalm 28, verse 7, it says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in Him and I'm helped. My heart leaps for joy and I will give thanks in song. So, we should inform our face of the joy that's in our heart in some way. And a smile is a way to do that. Somebody said, sometimes in church it can seem like ventriloquism practice when we're singing. It's like, he's singing, but I didn't actually see his lips move. His lips didn't even move. It's amazing. Anyway, you get the idea. We give thanks with our words. We give thanks with our songs. The third way we give thanks is in the gifts that we give. So Paul, writing to the church in Corinth, says, you will be made rich. Come back in. You'll be made rich in every way so that you can be generous on every occasion, and through your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Paul was taking an offering from the church in Corinth to somebody else who would be thankful for it. So look at that. Rich in every way to be generous on every occasion. I guess that's part of what TGNI was about. Rich in every way to be generous on every occasion. It's okay to get, but the greatest joy in life comes from giving. That's where thanks comes from. Thanks and giving and sacrifice, they go together. So let me encourage us to emphasize the give in thanksgiving this year. Psalm 116:17 says, I will give you an offering to show thanks to you. So whenever we give an offering, it should be out of a spirit of thankfulness. God, I'm so grateful for all that you've done. It's all yours anyway. So out of that gratitude, I give to you so that others can be ministered to. That's where it comes from. When we do that, we change from the world owes me something mentality to a God has given me everything mentality. 2 Corinthians says, so two good things happen as a result of your gifts. Those in need are helped, and they overflow with thanks to God. People get helped, they get ministered to, and then they give thanks to God also. So we say words to give thanks, we sing songs to give thanks, we give something to give thanks to God. The fourth reason the Bible talks about is a little bit more obscure. We give thanks by the times that we choose to give thanks. So Paul, writing to the church in Thessalonica, says, no matter what happens, always be thankful. For this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Those three words. Always be thankful. To me, that's one of the great challenges of the Bible. Always be thankful. You know, I struggle for sometimes be thankful. Always be thankful. There are challenges in the Bible that I'm going to spend the rest of my life trying to live up to them, and this is one of them. If we're going to be thankful in the times we choose, first I think that means giving thanks in a bad time. We give thanks when things aren't going so well. We give thanks when there's difficulties in our lives. And some of us in this last year have been through tough times. You've had a tough life, but we give thanks to God even when things aren't going well. because we realize God's with us, even in our difficult times. God still has a bigger purpose in our lives. We give thanks that there's a loving God, even in the midst of our life's problems. There's a hope above and beyond this world, and so we give thanks. One of the ways that we give thanks, I think, is when things aren't going so well, and we do it by means of comparison. You know, we look around and we we realize, excuse me, we've got it bad, but there are people in the world who have it worse. We do that, don't we? We compare and say, oh, people have got things worse than me. And sometimes comparing a situation can help us feel better. There's no doubt about that. But I think we need more than that, because what if we can't find somebody who's got it worse? What if we can't think of somebody who's got it worse? Why should that be the only reason I should be thankful in a tough situation? We're thankful in a tough situation not just because some people might have it worse. We're thankful in a tough situation because we know that even then, God is working for our best. Even in the difficulty, the worst that the world can throw at us, God is bigger, God is better, God can outlast it. God is our hope beyond our problems. So God's going to walk with us through it each step of the way. God's going to develop our character, and God's got something that's greater than the problem that we're facing. So we're thankful in bad times. Second, we give thanks for the good things in our lives, and we're surrounded by them. 1 Timothy says, "For everything God created is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it's received with thanksgiving." Paul's saying God made it all, so we can be thankful for everything God made, everything that God created. Well, with the literally millions of things that we can thank God for in our lives, in human history and in creation, one of the questions I have in my life is, why do I forget so often to give thanks? Sometimes I just forget. I should give thanks, but I just go through my day and I do this and I do that and I just don't get to giving thanks. I think I'll do it later, or I'll do it someday. I've got this other thing to do today. But folks, if thankfulness is one of the most powerful things for my heart and life, I've got to make time. We've got to make time to be thankful. So the third specific way to give thanks in the times that we choose is to give thanks at a specific time. So you're going to love this. Psalm 119 says, "At midnight I rise to give thanks for your righteous laws." At midnight. Really? Although some of you are probably still thinking, I'm still up at midnight. I wouldn't have to get up at midnight. I could do that easily. The point here isn't midnight. The point here is a specific time every single day to give thanks. And then finally, there's a fifth way that the Bible talks about giving thanks. It talks about the prayers that we pray. So 1 Timothy says, "I urge then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercessions, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness." Notice the word everyone. We're supposed to make requests for who? Everyone. We're supposed to pray for who? Everyone. Intercessions for who? Everyone. And we're supposed to give thanks for everyone. Well, at least everyone in our lives. And then it goes on and it specifically lists kings and all in authority, the government, people in government that we might even disagree with, we're supposed to give thanks for them. We don't have to agree with somebody to be thankful for them. In fact, we can strongly disagree with someone and still be thankful for them. See, if we disagree with somebody out of a heart of bitterness and anger, it's never going to get us anywhere. No one is ever going to move in any way. But if we can disagree with someone and it's out of a thankful heart, that's an opportunity for them to change and for us to change and for things to change. It doesn't do the damage to our heart that bitterness and hatred does. So Paul says, be thankful for everyone. Specifically, be thankful for the people in our lives that have in so many ways impacted our lives in great ways. So Philippians says, Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God your needs. And don't forget to thank Him for the answers. So we thank God and we thank God for His answers. Thanks that you answered that prayer. I am so grateful. So let me just remind you of one final thing. And that's, don't try to be more thankful. If we try to be more thankful, to force it into our lives, to make it work in our lives, we're just going to get worn out and frustrated. Colossians says this, let your lives overflow with joy and thanksgiving for all that He has done. Thankfulness somehow is a matter of overflowing. An overflowing that comes out of our relationship with God. We overflow with thanks by trusting something that is bigger than ourselves. We trust God. We trust our relationship with God. As God pours His love into our lives, it's bigger than we can handle and bigger than we can manage. So we overflow with love and thankfulness and joy. That's the way I think it is meant to work. You want to have more thankfulness in your life? It starts with our relationship with Jesus. All these things that we talked about, they're all built on that relationship. It's a relationship Jesus told us to remember in communion. We remember that Jesus died on a cross, that Jesus was resurrected, that He did it in order to give you and me the power to have a relationship with Him. He did all the work. He brought the gift. He wrapped it up. He's offering it to us. He's opened the door and He's saying, come on through. I want that relationship with you, out of which we will be thankful. So we're going to be thankful for God's love for us and for the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus by doing what He told us to do. He said, remember me. And the symbols we use to do that are bread and wine. Jesus told us to do that. And we are all invited to join in. The bread is gluten-free. The grape juice is non-alcoholic. And as we prepare to do that, then I want to pray a prayer that's called the Great Prayer of Thanksgiving. It's often used in a communion service that reminds us that the thing that Jesus told us to do comes out of a great history of who God is in our lives all through history. So let's pray. Lord, in the beginning, Your Spirit swept over the face of the waters, bringing order and beauty out of chaos. You formed us in Your image and breathed into us the breath of life. Through the waters of the Red Sea, You delivered us from suffering and oppression. At the foot of Your sacred mountain, You called us to truth and holiness. In the words of Your prophets, You called us to justice and compassion. Through the lives of Your blessed saints and martyrs, You taught us wisdom and faithfulness. Though we turned away from You, Your love remained steadfast. And in the fullness of time, You sent Your Son Jesus to be the Savior of the world. You open Your kingdom to all who believe and welcome us to Your table, for by grace we are saved through faith. So, Lord God, thank You for keeping Your promise and sending Jesus, whose life and death and resurrection for our salvation we remember now. Amen. I'm going to invite some people to distribute the bread and the grape juice for us. I invite you just to hold it, the cup and the bread, and when we've all got it, we're going to sing a song together.